Thank you, Bryce. God's word and the reading of God's word is good. Amen? Amen. This morning, I do want to talk about vision, but I want to start off with a story. Some years ago, I went to go visit a lady that was in care, and she was struggling with dementia. And as I went to go visit her, Mrs. S., it was great that she recognized me. That was really good. It was, but the problem was is that she recognized me as the youth pastor. That wasn't too bad. I'd formerly been in that church as a youth pastor, and so that's where her memory took me, and I was coming and visiting her, and I was a youth pastor. But I was just glad that she remembered me, which was wonderful. And we had some really good chats as we sat there and we talked together from time to time. But I remember one particular time I went to visit her, I walked into her room and she had a pair of glasses on. And she had these glasses on. I looked at her and I said, Mrs. S., I said, did you get a new pair of glasses? And she says, no. And I said, oh. And they were very masculine looking glasses. And so as we talked and that, I just kind of kept looking around her room, and then before I knew it, I was opening a drawer, and I was looking in the drawer, and I found her glasses. And the glasses she had on weren't her glasses. And so I said to her, Mrs. S., I said, I found these glasses here. Do you mind if we maybe change out the glasses? And so I took the glasses off, and I put the other glasses on her, and she goes, oh, I can see so much better now. Everything is clear. And I said, that's wonderful. And we carried on our conversation for a while. And then I finally, it was time for me to excuse myself, and off I went. And I took these pair of glasses that she had, and I took them down to the nurse's station. And I said to them, Mrs. S., how did these pair of glasses on? And I'm pretty sure they're not hers. I think it must be one of the fellows in the home here. And they said, oh, yes. We have been looking for Jim's glasses. And we haven't been able to find them. We figured he put them somewhere. And what they figured happened was is at mealtime, at breakfast time that morning, he had set his glasses down, and she just picked them up, and she put them on, and away she went. And so she had a new pair of glasses. Seeing clearly is actually very important. And how we see things, how we view things, our vision of God and we understanding the vision that God has are very important part of what we do. We're going to spend time, I'm going to share with you a vision statement that we are working towards, and I want to share that with you, and I'm going to take some weeks to go through it for us to understand it. But today I really want to talk about the importance of vision. And to do that, I think it's important for us to understand, well, what's the difference between a mission statement and a vision statement? Isn't that good? Like, we have mission statements and we have vision statements. And through the years in churches, many years ago, if you've been going to church for a long time, you would probably say our church never had a mission statement. It never had a vision statement. And it could be true. Or if they had one, you didn't know what it is. But over the last 20 years, this has become more and more of an important thing that we do. And so as a church here, we have a mission statement and we have a vision statement. So what is a mission statement? Well, a mission statement is this. A mission statement summarizes what your church exists to do, helping a church guide its decisions and priorities. It is a belief statement, easy to remember. Our mission statement guides the answer to the question, how will our church turn our vision into reality? And so that's what a mission statement does, okay? I'm just wondering, does anybody know what our mission statement is here? Yeah? What is it?
They all know.
They all know.
Love God.
Love God. Others. Serve the world. Okay, we'll put that up there, but very good. Excellent. And I've noticed that as we have had, as I've been here, that different documents have our mission statement as our vision statement. And we even had that on our website for a while. But that's not true. We're developing a vision statement. So what's the difference? A vision statement is this. A vision statement articulates the church's ambitions, proclaims our desire to impact the surrounding community and change the world. It ultimately answers the question, why does this church exist? Okay? So, totally confused? Fantastic. So here is our vision statement. It's transforming our lives, community, and the world by living daily with Jesus, being like him, and doing as he does. So that's the one that we're working on and developing. It's in the process. And I will take time after this Sunday to walk through kind of each aspect of that and kind of explain the importance of each of those parts and why I'm behind this vision statement. But when we look at our mission statement, it is to love God, love others, and serve the world. So we want to do that so that we can accomplish in transforming our lives, our community, and the world by living daily with Jesus, being like him, and doing as he does. All that we have, I want to dive into it, but more next week. Because this week, what I want to look at is I want to look at the aspect of what kind of vision do you have of God? What is your vision of God? And then what is God's vision? Because overall, no matter what our mission statement is, no matter what our vision statement is, the one thing that's probably more important than anything else is that we have a clear vision of who God is. And sometimes in the world that we live in, it can get pretty muddled. And if we don't have a clear vision of who God is, then we're not going to have a clear understanding of what his desire is for this world. What is his vision? And then ultimately, what is his vision for us? So there's this verse that Bryce read earlier, and where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Blessed is he who keeps the law. Our biggest tragedy, I think, in church today is that many don't have a clear vision of who God is. Their vision of God may be too narrow. It may be something in which is because of your background of how you grew up and your church experience, it may be kind of foggy or muddled all up. Like, who is God? So in this, it talks about how when you don't have a clear vision, the people cast off restraint. We think about the world that we live in today, and where is there any restraint? There isn't much, is it? I mean, today in the world that we live in, you pretty much can do whatever you want to as long as you can come to some way of justifying what you're doing. What we are able to do and what we're allowed to do, it just keeps getting broader and broader and broader and broader. Why is that? Because we don't have a vision of God. We've cast that away. And when we cast that away, then we come to a conclusion that you do you. It's a very logical conclusion to come to the point and say, you just do what makes you happy. And that's all right. As long as it really doesn't affect me too much, I am okay with you doing you. But that doesn't work. Because even in the midst of you doing you still affects what you are doing with other people. It really does. If I want to drive like a madman on the roads, it's going to affect the people around me. Even though I might be one of the best drivers out there, it's still going to affect the people around me. I can't do me. There are laws of the road that I do need to obey. And if I don't obey them, well, I will get caught eventually. Hopefully I won't injure anybody along the way. Our vision of God will determine how we respond to God and others. Our vision of God will determine how we respond to God and others. And it's true. So, what is it? How do we see God? I thought about this, and I thought, well, you know, there are people maybe here today in church, depending on how or how you grew up, how you were taught, you may see God as an angry God. That's your view of God. And if that's how you see God, it will determine how you view him, how you respond to him, and how you respond to others. You may see him as a wrathful God. You may see him as a benevolent God. Well, you know, he's out there, but he really doesn't care. He really isn't doing much. He's just going to let you do what you want to do, and he's going to do what he's going to do. You might see him as a demanding God, that he is just demanding that you need to do this and this and this and this. You might see him as an absent God. He's here, but is he really here? That may come because maybe you had a parent who was absent in your own life. And so it's easy to put that on to God. You may see him as a mean God. I mean, if you had the ability and the power to do whatever you want, that you could do anything, and yet he doesn't heal everybody from cancer, that he allows a little child to die, I mean, that's a pretty mean God. And so, again, how you view God determines how you respond to him and others. There may be some who see him as a genie. You know, all you do is you pray. You rub the right prayer. You say the right prayer. And guess what? He comes out and says, I'll give you whatever wishes you want. What 3 wishes would you like? And you see him as this genie. He's going to answer. He has to. He's supposed to answer every prayer. So how do you see God? And how you see God, a lot of us who grow up in the church, is determined by how we grew up in the church, what we were taught, what we heard. You know, I for one, in my life, for many years, I feared God. Feared that by not doing what I was supposed to do, that God was going to zap me. He was going to just touch his little finger on me and boom, I was going to be in big trouble. I feared him. I trembled, not in a good way. There is a fear, as we talk about in church, that is a very good thing. It's a fear that brings us to a worship of a holy and righteous God. But there's a fear of God that can cause you not to have this relationship in which you can come to him. So how do you view God? What is your vision of God? Coming back to that verse, when there is no vision of God, no prophetic word, no understanding of God in your life, you will cast off restraint. So equally, there's other ways to see God. You can see him as a loving God. You can see him as a compassionate God. You can see him as a forgiving God, a generous God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God. And even in this, we can abuse those aspects of God. If we see him as a forgiving God and that he'll forgive everything, which there is no limits to his forgiveness, but we treat it as if it is nothing. Well, I can sin here and God's just going to forgive me. That is not a proper view of God either. So where is the balance? The balance is, and it comes when you and I will engage and we will come before him and we will study and know and engage with who he is. So for instance, if we look at God as a loving God, and I think about the teaching that Jesus has done on God being this God who is a loving God, and I think of Luke chapter 15, of the prodigal son, and how the son comes home with to the father, and what is the response of the father? And the father represents God. Jesus gives us a vision of who God is. And the vision is that one who admits that they are wrong and they're going in the wrong direction and they come to their senses, and I love that of the prodigal son. He comes to his senses. He realizes that the way he's been treating life and the way he has been doing life is wrong, and he comes to his senses and he comes back to his father. And what is his father's response? It's wonderful. His father's response, one, is very patiently waiting for his son to come back, to see God as one who is waiting for you to come back. But in this story, we also see a father who is forgiving because of the son's heart of repentance. And as the son comes home and the father greets him, he wraps his arms around him and he says, my son has come home. And he is incredibly generous because he puts a robe on him. He puts sandals on his feet and he puts a ring on his finger, on his fingers, to identify that this young man belongs to him. And he's very generous with who he is and all that he has. See, this is the picture that we see of God. And our vision of God will affect the way that we approach him. So I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I sin. But I can come to a God who is going to welcome me into his arms. I come to a holy God who says, because I am holy, I want to make a way for you to live in my holiness. Isn't that incredible? God is such a generous God, and we're going to talk about that down the road, but he's such a generous God that there is nothing about who he is that he would hold back from anyone who is seeking him. That's wild. Because when I encounter people and I encounter someone who I'm kind of suspicious of, I kind of think, well, I want to help you, but can I trust that when I help you, you're going to do good with it? God holds nothing back from us. So how do you see God? What is your vision of God? Because our vision of God affects how we respond to God and others. So here's a couple questions that I'm going to pause and just let you look at and ask. Where or when do you find it most difficult to come to God? When you sin and you come before God, how do you see God? What do you believe God's reaction is like if you are sinning? It's important that when we come before him, that we don't just come rushing in to the presence of God without giving time to contemplate and consider who he is. And so, taking time to do studies on a holy God, on a righteous God, on a God who does ask us to obey. But he does so because he wants the best for us. He wants the best for this world. And as a creator, he created this world to operate in a way that's going to be best. So that's the first thing. How do you see God? When I was in Bible school, my first year, I had this professor. And when we got done to the end of the year, He had his final exam and he says, you do your final exam, but everybody, when you pass it, and just sit here and wait. And he told us ahead of time, bring a book or something, because you're not leaving until the last person is done with the exam. Kind of a lot of pressure on me because I was the last person and everybody had to wait for me to finish. But anyway, regardless of that, it brought some curiosity. Like, why does he want us to stick around? The last class, why does he want us to stick around? And so we get all done, and he takes our tests, and he says, okay, these tests are going to show me how well I taught you. But not really. Not really. He said, what's going to show me that I taught you well is that if I run into you 10 or 15 years from now, and I ask you the question, are you still learning about God? And if you tell me yes, then I believe I've done my job well. Are you still learning about God? And that's what we get to do, is learn about him. Because when we have a vision of him, there's so much of an abundancy of who he is. All right, second part is in Habakkuk. And it's a very interesting read here, and I'm going to quickly go through these verses and just look at some observations. But he says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So I wanted to share this with us, and I wanted to engage in this with us, because as Paul says, that right now we see things kind of dimly in a mirror, but we'll once see him face to face. And what we see in part, we're going to see in whole. And that God has a vision for this world, and that vision for this world is a vision that he has for us. And I want us just to make some observation of these verses here, to help us to understand and bring us to a place of his vision for us. So first of all, what I want us to observe is this, is that in that first part, God wants his vision to be understood. He says, write it down. God's not wanting his vision for this world to be a mystery. He says, write this down. So he wants it to be understood. Secondly, is that God wants his vision to be clear. Make it plain. So make it plain, write it down, make it plain. I want people to know what my vision is. That is good. That is good. Third thing is this, is that when we hear it, let a herald run with it. So let us take what we know and let us do something with it. It's not, God's vision isn't just for him, it is for us to engage with and to take it to other people. The fourth observation is this. It is true. It will not be proven false. God's vision is true. And the last part of this vision is that God's vision can seem like it may not come, but don't lose heart. Though it lingers, wait for it. He will clearly come and will not delay. So God's vision that he has for this world is a vision that his creation would love him and what he has created. And in so loving him and his creation, then you and I will take what he has created, and we will treat it with beauty. We will treat it with respect. We will treat it as he designed it to be. And that's why Jesus says that what we are called, what are the two greatest commandments? To love God and to love others. Because by loving God, we are loving his creation. And by loving others, we're loving what he has created. And so when I treat him with this love and respect, I will treat others with love and respect. God's vision is not that we live in brokenness, but that we live in wholeness. We want to know, what is God's vision for me? It is to love him and to love others. He wants us to herald that. He wants us to herald it by the way that we go about living and treating other people. How is our world going to change? How is our community going to change? It's going to change because you and me are seeking to be changed by Him. That we're taking hold of His vision. That this creation, His creation, is beautiful. When God's people will call upon His name, they will turn from their wicked ways and seek Him. He will heal the land. He will restore it. So God's vision is not hard. It's just hard for us to practice. So the question for each of us is, do we desire to be part of God's vision? To be part of His vision of restoring His kingdom here on this earth. Bringing an abundant life, His life. His vision to bring abundant life to all who seek to follow Him, after Him. His vision to set the captives free from sin and destruction. His vision to take this world and all that is crumbling its ways and to breathe life and light into it. That's why Christ came. And that is His vision for this world. Father, vision, you have given us vision, and it is important. Lord, I pray that we would pause in our day, in our week, and that we would seek to have a proper vision of you. Lord, rescue us from where we do not understand you properly. Lord God, where fear of your wrath paralyzes us. Where, Lord, we have taken your forgiveness and we've abused it. But God, that we would have a clear picture of who you are. A God, Lord, who you love us immensely. And so much so that, Lord, you died for us while we were yet sinners. God, may we have your heart for the brokenness around us. May we be your hands and feet. May we bring your vision to our community for the sake of Jesus. In His name, amen.